Welcome, everyone, to this week's weekly market update, May 14th, about an hour post-equity market open with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing well. We took the week off last week to celebrate Mother's Day, so I hope everyone had a fantastic Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So what we can do this week is kind of jump into an update from what would have been in the last podcast. Let's just go over the major indices real quick. S&P over the last five trading days up essentially almost 2%. NASDAQ about 2.5%. Dow basically 1%. Russell and gold flat. Nothing really to speak of there. Crude oil at $100 a barrel, which is up 6% since last Thursday. You know, that plays a significant role really in a lot of things as crude oil touches basically every corner of the economy internationally. And so that's something we wanted to cover here, particularly because we now have a new Fed chair. And if you want to, Carl, go ahead and introduce him.
So Kevin Warsh yesterday was officially confirmed by the House Senate committee. And I think it was a vote of 54 to 45. So not particularly close, pretty much even. We anticipated just the majority won over this time around. And so now we all start to look at the rest of the year Fed prints and what we're looking at and the possibility of a rate cut. Because while we do believe that Warsh is very data dependent, and he's come out and said he's data dependent and he doesn't use his emotions to swing things. Looking at the Fed right now, the probabilities are now leaning towards a max of one rate cut, and that would be in December. But actually, the probability is showing no rate cut, and that's due to the PPI print that came out yesterday. PPI came in a little hot. It was projected for the month over month to be 0.5%, and it was 1.5%. So a whole percent over what we thought was going to happen. And so that's really going to be affecting the future possibilities of rate cuts this year. We may start looking at and delving into the possibility of no rate cuts this year, however.
Yeah, and so a couple of things on that front. I do think that Warsh, given his past experience what I would consider to be in modern times, the worst financial crisis really that we've seen in about 100 years.
Absolutely.
And so he's definitely got the experience, but he was also fairly instrumental in managing that via future rate cuts. So I agree with you because of the conflict in the Middle East and that has caused crude oil prices to pop, which caused the PPI print to come in hotter than anticipated. I do think that they're probably off the table for this year, but I also think that he is a big believer in using rate cuts to stimulate when it's appropriate, right? When the timing is appropriate. And I also think that, you know, some know, but we don't know what the future of this conflict in the Middle East is and how long it will last. And I do think that what's going on right now in Beijing will probably play into that in terms of what the result looks like and how long it takes to get to that result. But so there's a lot of moving parts here. All of that being said, the market is literally, as we're talking, at all-time highs. And so the market doesn't seem to be all that deterred. Of course, initially, there's an initial knee-jerk reaction to the downside. We talked about this in the past, how in these types of, especially in geopolitical environments, if you look back, really going back about 80 years, the geopolitical environments tend to be steep down and even steeper up. And so it's exactly what we saw here. Here we are at all-time highs. Last year, I would consider the tariff, I think you would too, to be somewhat of a geopolitical event. And it was the same thing, 4 weeks down, 4 weeks up, and then all-time highs. pretty amazing.
You're dead on, because the first thing that happens when we have any sort of geopolitical conflict is essentially a race to the downside, right? People want to either take their profit, they want to move to safety, do what they can, which is what we saw earlier this year. Earlier this year was a move or a shift to broadening of the market. Last year, it was a shift towards essentially the fixed income side. So that's why last year you saw much more of a downturn in the market, because it was actually leaving the stock market and going into the fixed income side. This year, it was leaving the heads, the top tiers, the mega caps, whatever you want to call them, the leadership, as you call them, and moving into the broadening of it. And now we're seeing it kind of come back from going broad and going back into leadership. And when leadership goes well, because everything is so heavily weighted on those top, 10 to 20 stocks and companies, that's what we're seeing right now. NVIDIA has been on a rip roar these past couple of days, past few weeks. And you're looking at companies like AMD, who, they're basically the same, the same company. Their CEOs are cousins of each other, which I always find fascinating. Apple has done really well, and you're just seeing that leadership kind of take over, which is now bringing the market back up with it. And being going back into that shift is what we're seeing now. And you were dead on. Down fast, up fast when it comes to these kind of geopolitical, because they start baking it in quickly. They go, okay, how far down do we go? This year we're 7% top to bottom drawdown. Then they kind of figure it out. And by they, I mean the institutions. The institutions start figuring out, okay, where's the bottom? Okay, we're about the bottom. Okay, now let's start doing the math. If crude oil stays around this, inflation stays around this, where are we going to get to? What's the cap? And then it's a race to the top. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now, is a race up to the top of where they feel comfortable with inflation being at or sticking at 3.5% to 4%. And crude oil sticking at 100, I think, is where we're going to see it kind of top out within that market.
Yeah, very well said. And just to add on to that, that I find also fascinating is, and we saw this last year too. I will never forget doing this podcast last year when we were at the bottom in April. And it's just fascinating to me that despite a geopolitical conflict, despite a higher than anticipated, higher than expected inflationary prints, despite a shift in Fed chair, despite crude oil prices basically doubling, despite all of that, and anything can happen, don't get me wrong, but despite all of that, the statistics that we have been talking about, at least right now, as we're doing this podcast, are on track to hold up again, just like last year. And we had very similar, outside of the crude oil issue, we had very similar things going on last year, right? I mean, and think about rate cut. There was far more anticipated rate cuts than we actually got last year. We're seeing the same thing this year. It started off the year thinking that, and looking like there would be possibly three, to now none. And yet all of that, the markets still seem to be wanting to fulfill these statistics. And I just find that fascinating, always have. That's why we really do harp on those quite a bit, because we're not the only ones that look at those. And so, yeah, all of that is really, really positive. And I think, halfway through the year, we basically fulfilled half of the statistic. And I think that's a good sign. We have seen some sector rotation for sure. And I think we'll continue to see that sort of move around throughout the year, depending on the environment. But I do think that if the conflict comes to an end, then inflationary numbers change. And then, the anticipation of future rate cuts will likely change. So it's definitely a moving target across the board. But all in all, market participants seemingly are very, very positive on future growth, as am I. I honestly think we've got a good, 200, 250 points left in the S&P easily, maybe more, maybe upwards of 8,000. I can't remember who, what big institution came out and put 8,000 as their target. But
I believe it was
Barclays
earlier, and JP Morgan was last year. They have JP Morgan has shifted, but I think Barclays just came out recently with an 8,000 number.
Yeah, that sounds right. But I haven't seen anybody come out with a downgraded version of the S&P, at least not right now. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And what we're talking about, discussion of the statistics last year, we talked about statistics that range from a 15% year to, I think, a 32% year. Yeah, and we balked at the 32% pretty immediately. We're like, I don't think so. Not this time around. And so after we took all those statistics and trends and did our own research on the side with it as well, we came to about a 15%, right in the ballpark of 15 to 20% for this year, obviously depending on geopolitical and the prints that come out. And year to date, the S&P, we're not even halfway through, is around 9. So you just double that, 16, right in that 15 to 20 range as we were anticipating. And like you said, Barclays is positive this year. We're still very positive for the rest of this year. Even with the lack of rate cuts, I think there's enough good momentum happening in the market right now to kind of carry the way through the rest of the year. And just to reiterate, going into 2027, we're a little bit, we're slightly bearish for 2027. So we'll be looking at possibly creating cash positions towards the end of the year, maybe first part of the year of 2027. So just kind of listeners, be on the lookout for that.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. And we'll continue to mention that throughout the year. I actually get very excited about those types of environments because it creates such a big opportunity for us to, one, dampen volatility, but two, as importantly, to create positive return, again, because we tend to see these very sharp inclines. Now, that one's going to be more of a kind of a seasonal type of event, I think. But even in the seasonal events that we discussed for many, many podcasts, there typically is some sort of geopolitical overlay on top of it. So don't know how to explain that really, but it's just that's if you go back in history, that's the way it works out. So I'm excited both to dampen volatility and turn that into opportunity for the portfolios. But I feel like we covered a lot today. Carl, do you have anything else?
No, I feel like we definitely covered a little bit more ground than we usually do in one of these podcasts. But if any listener out there thinks someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.